So I'm guessing needs are the most controversial aspect of MVC. I will read from March's Shabda with thanks to Vajrapriya. I'll just add that I really appreciated what Vajrapriya wrote. And I can think of people who use MVC in the way that it describes, or use it on occasion, which a missing of the spirit. So I really valued what he said, and it helped me clarify my thinking. As I said, I think our practice of MVC is limited by our own self-awareness. It is also perhaps limited by our tendency towards literalism, and also a lack in MVC of a self-critique. I won't be saying anything novel, he says, if I complain about the language of needs. That language makes the subjective desire sound objective and unrefusable, a bit like the language of rights. I know that people translate needs into values, which definitely sounds better, but I think it simply masks linguistically the underlying orientation to self-preoccupation. Are these needs or values questionable? Can they simply be neurotic? Thank you, Vajrapriya. I'm kind of worried now. I'm thinking, oh, what have I said to answer that? So whilst I'm stalling for time, I'll just take my jumper off because I'm really hot. So I don't know whether this follows on looking at it now, but so it says, a key distinction in MVC is the distinction between a need and a strategy. The more we are caught up in specific strategies, the less likely we are to get our needs met. Also, the more we are going to express ourselves in a way that is not sensitive to the needs and values of those around us. And then, yes, this bit returns to that. There is no doubt that we can use the model and skills of MVC in a way that is very self-referential. And if I do that, I will experience the karma accordingly. I will experience pain and suffering and disconnection. I have, on occasion, had the impression of skilled MVC practitioners using the model to keep people at a distance or get their own way. Or, as we might say within the movement, use the power mode. I raised this with Marshall at one time, and he responded by saying something along the lines of, people use the model manipulatively when they are terrified of revealing what is going on with them. I would add, perhaps, so terrified they don't even know what's going on for themselves. I'll read something from Dostoevsky. Every man has reminiscences which he would not tell to everyone, but only to his friends. He has other matters in his mind which he would not reveal even to his friends, but only to himself, and that in secret. But there are other things which a man is afraid to tell even to himself. And every decent man has a number of such things stored away in his mind. So this is from, a very, very good book called Vital Lies, Simple Truths, The Psychology of Self-Deception. One of the great things about the Dharma is the Sangha. And hopefully our Dharma brothers and sisters help us not get lost in self-delusion, because it is so easy. I think the fact that we also live our lives so intimately and connected can really help us not delude ourselves and get lost. I find it incredibly frustrating and frightening when what I see before me is a confused mixture of messages. So I'm talking with somebody and I kind of don't know what's coming at me. The language all seems reasonable, even nice. But if I pick up incongruity, I don't trust what I hear, or have a sense of openness or fairness, or that I'm being considered, I feel frightened. A human being is capable of communicating far more messages than they can be aware of. Like me standing here, there's the words, but my body language will be saying something. There'll be, the tone of my voice will be saying something, and you'll be picking that up. To give you an example, when you smile, there's a true smile, which is called a Ducian smile, after a French scientist, who kind of found that with a true smile, two little muscles just in the inner eye lifted the cheeks very, very slightly. And if it wasn't a true smile, those didn't lift. So it's good to see some nice true smiles coming back at me. But part of us, somebody smiling at us and we're kind of picking up two messages. You know, they're kind of, and it's kind of, you know, which is Tommy Cooper was a master at. He's a kind of, you're talking all right. And those kind of mixed messages of kind of insecurity, and yet was very, very funny. He was really able to do it better than anybody else. When we're in communication with somebody and what their body is saying or their tone is saying, it does for me, I kind of get scared. I do feel frightened. I feel fearful. So our messages are leaking out all over the place. The look in our eyes. The tone of the voice. I think tone is particularly important. I often say to people, you know, I used to say this when we were talking about fundraising. What the tone conveys is what is in your heart. It's very difficult to change the tone. You know, if there's warmth in your heart, it's kind of said. You know, like when I said to Oriane, would you like us to kind of do a show of hands to see if everyone thinks you're a bitch? She could kind of pick up that actually what was in my heart was a kind of playfulness and a kind of care. And so tone, it kind of, you know, it's difficult to alter that. You have to really kind of come into your heart. If I'm on the end of incongruity, I find it confusing, as I say, and scary. But in the past, before MVC, I would have kind of hardened and would have blamed that person. But now it's kind of like knowing that, I'm feeling scared or frightened. And then it's kind of like, what is it? Where is the incongruity? What is the specific? And I might not be able to do that, but just sometimes being able to say, sometimes, well, I'm feeling a bit scared. It's kind of like, connects me with the person. So the word needs isn't quite right. Values carry something of the meaning, but again falls short. So let us take the words provisionally. The needs are pointing towards what is alive in us, using that term poetically. I think actually there's some correspondence between the word, how the word needs are used in MVC, and this is the bit I'm a bit worried about, is the word chetana, which is, again, one of the omnipresent mental events. In Know Your Mind, which you're all very familiar with, I'm sure, Banti defines chetana as the pressure forward of the whole subject towards its object, or the whole subject experienced as psychic impetus. Chetana is like the idea of a life force. They said chetana is one of the omnipresent mental events. It is karma forming. So we need to be conscious of the direction of our mind. If it is expressed without regard to other, and in this we are guided by the precepts. You know, if it's expressed without regard to the other, suffering will follow. So when we are listening to somebody or listening to ourselves, where we focus our attention is crucial. If we are able to listen behind the words and means of expression to what is alive in them, in poetic terms, listening to their heart, it will connect us with them. So why am I standing up here preaching? Because that's the last thing I'd like to do. And I get a few nods there, which, okay, yeah, it's kind of like, which is not what I wanted. Okay, so what do I do? Do I kind of ditch the talk? And it's interesting, I've never actually written a talk before. I've given hundreds, but I've never actually written one before. And I thought the idea of standing on the convention and kind of doing my usual thing, you know, sort of a, right, what's going on for me? I didn't think I'd be able to carry it off. And actually standing here and I did think, I won't be able to read from the talk, it'd be so boring. But I haven't had the courage, I've had to kind of stick with the words, mostly. And, if it has come across as preachy, I'm really sorry about that. I do feel a bit like crying now, but actually I also feel happy. So it's difficult to try and convey, or I found it difficult to try and sort of, ideally I would have wanted just to kind of, in the spirit of MVC, which I think is kind of coming from the heart and kind of connecting. And I suppose there is this element in which, actually, if I'm just worried about connecting with my heart and I lose connection with you, that's not so good. It has to have that kind of flow of connecting with myself and kind of connecting with you. And so I kind of feel, all right, okay, yeah, I can feel I'm relaxing a bit now. And you might still be bored and thinking I'm preaching, but anyways. So yeah, from the 10 pillars. So I'm back to my script now. It's kind of like nervous again and sort of thinking, oh, what do I do now? If I just drop it, I'll be lost.